The official title of the homily is Three Disciplines of Discipleship. The unofficial title is I Keep So Busy Working for the Kingdom I Ain't Got Time to Die. I keep so busy working for my Savior I ain't got time to die. And so we see that here we are in the beginning of a few weeks of ordinary time, and we'll wear the green here until about mid-February when we go into Lent. But in this, what we call ordinary time, where we wear the green vestments, the real subject matter of the readings is daily discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple? What are some basic issues that we face in our daily life, and what does the Lord have to say and teach us about them? And today's readings are certainly no exception. We're taught today some basic practical things about being a disciple. And in three basic words, they are that we are to be undefiant, we are to be unfettered, and we are to be untiring. And we'll go through each of them. Now, the first thing you'll see is that in being a disciple, clearly the first thing we do need to do is to be obedient to the Lord and to follow His teachings and not just hear them, but actually heed them. And so in the first reading today, we see an example of being undefiant and also an example of being defiant. We see that our prophet here, Jonah, was a very reluctant prophet. Any reluctant prophets in here? You know, Jonah said, I want you to go and knock on doors in the neighborhood. Oops. Did Father just say that? Jonah, I want you to go to the Ninevites, and I want you to tell them to repent. And Jonah said, I don't want to do that. Jonah had different reasons. We don't need to get into that, but Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah is defiant. I will not go. Now, Jonah was told to go 500 miles to the east, but he ended up fleeing 2,500 miles to the west. Now, church, our boy Jonah is doing some serious running from God, amen? And the other message is that it's always a longer journey to go out of God's will than to stay in it. Are you praying with me? You see, there's a very important message here of trying to learn to obey God. It's not just to follow rules for their own sake, but the Lord wants to save us a little bit of mileage in our life. Amen? Now, just for a moment, though, look at Jonah with me, and you'll notice, though, the Lord said, now, Jonah, I want you to go, and Jonah said, I don't want to go, and he fled. Now, the first thing that happens to Jonah when he flees and goes out of God's will is that there are storms that inevitably come. Don't miss that point. There are storms that inevitably come. And not only does the storm affect Jonah, the storm affects people around him. You know, Jonah's on that boat, and the storm comes up at sea. And pay attention, brothers and sisters, because, you know, if you don't want to get right with God for your own sake, get right with God for our sake and for Pete's sake. In other words, it's a very important truth to remember that how I live my life is not just my business, and it's not just my own thing. It doesn't just affect me. How I live my life and the decisions that I make affect people around me. And if I'm going to bring storms into my life, an awful lot of people end up having to mop up the water. An awful lot of people have to end up repairing the buildings. Church, pay attention. Jonah goes out of God's will, and his life gets very stormy. And those men on the boat are affected too. So much so that they fear for their own life. And so it is that Jonah finally admits, I'm the one. I'm why this storm is going. And Jonah just says, look, throw me overboard, and the storm will abate. And you know the rest of the story. Jonah takes a, quote, whale of a ride, and he ends up, church, right back where God left him, on the port city of Joppa, where God had first told him, go to the Ninevites. And Jonah, hears again, the Lord says, Jonah, go to the Ninevites. I'm going, Lord. He doesn't want more storms in his life. Now, pay attention. You see, the vision here is that when we get out of God's will, first of all, it's always a longer journey. And secondly, it's a much more stormy journey. You know, think about it. All the suffering in our world today, all the storms that rage in this world. And brothers and sisters, I'm just going to make bold and I'm going to tell you that 85% of the suffering in this world is caused simply because we don't obey God. We hate each other, we don't forgive, we're unmerciful, we're unkind, we're lustful, we do all kinds of things we got no business doing, and we bring storms into our own life and into the lives of the world. This is where wars come from. This is where all kinds of human suffering and loss and tragedy come from. Yes, there's always going to be natural disasters. Even people who have very little sin in their life may still suffer. And I'm not saying that life is without any sufferings, even if you try to keep God's will. I'm just telling you that most of the suffering in this world would go away overnight if we'd all just keep the commandments. Are you praying with me? It's always a longer and a more difficult journey to get out of God's will than to stay in God's will. Devil's telling you, hey, man, it's much more pleasurable to sin, and it's much easier to sin. And you know what? In the short run, sometimes that's true. It's not always easy. Sometimes the easiest thing to do is give way to anger or give way to lust. That's sometimes the easiest thing. It's not the best. And I tell you what, the bill is in the mail. Church, I said the bill is in the mail. Satan says, listen, 1995 plus shipping and handling. It's so easy. Just sin and have it your way. But the bill is in the mail. It will come due. Sometimes it may seem that something's more pleasurable and more easy in the short run, but in the long run, the storms are on the way, the suffering, the difficulties. There are consequences to getting out of God's will for us. Are you praying with me? And that's Jonah's story. Now, but look at the Ninevites. They're not defiant. They're undefiant. They hear a word from God, repent. And they do it. Someone say miracle. A miracle. And guess what? The destruction, the storm, doesn't come. You see the vision? Now, the first discipline of discipleship is to not be defiant, to be undefined, to say, Lord, I love you, I love your ways, your commandments, and sometimes what you ask of me is not easy. Sometimes it's difficult. But Lord, I'm going to love you, I'm going to trust you, and what you ask of me and what you command of me, I'm going to do it. And even if it's difficult, Lord, because Lord, you've taught me that it's a much longer journey to go out of your will and a much more stormy one. Lord, help me to trust you. And whatever you command of me, whatever you want of me, that's what's best for me. It may not always seem that way in the moment, but Lord, I know it is. And I'm going to trust you. See, to be a disciple means to be someone who's following the Lord. The Lord says this way, but Lord, that's the hilly way. There's a much easier way over here. The Lord says, we're not going that way. Follow him. Church, follow him. No matter which way might seem better to you or more pleasurable or more reasonable, follow the Lord where he leads. Sometimes he asks us not simply to give way to our sinfulness or to our willfulness. It's not always easier. But I tell you, church, it's a lot easier than following the devil. And some of us in this church know that by experience. Amen? The devil is a difficult taskmaster, and the bill is in the mail. If you think, oh, I got away with it, just be careful. Devil's got that bill in the mail if you don't repent. Now, not only then, the first discipline of discipleship we see in the first reading, which is to be undefiant. Look at these wonderful Ninevites and how they avoid storms, and yet look at Jonah and how he goes right into the eye of the storm. And the difference is defiance. We can either choose to follow God, and I'm not telling you there won't be any storms. I'm just telling you there'll be a lot fewer and a lot more manageable. And secondly, We see the Ninevites who do, in fact, they do not defy God, and they avoid the coming storm. Now, the next thing that the readings tell us is not only to be undefiant, but to be unfettered. Now, this word unfettered means a fetter is a chain, to be unchained, to be set free. And the text here from 1 Corinthians says this: brothers and sisters, the time is running out. From now on, there come some strange things here. From now on, let those who have wives act as though they did not have them. Those weeping as not weeping, those rejoicing as not rejoicing, those having or buying as not owning, and those using the world as not using it fully. And then it goes on to say, for the world in its present form is passing away. Now, perhaps a difficult text, but its basic message is clear. That everything you see and everything you have is passing away. It's going to slip through your fingers one day. You all, like I, have sadly had to bury relatives and friends. I buried both my parents. I buried my sister. I saw my father bury his wife. We've had to say goodbye. Every relationship and everything that we're depending on in this world will pass away. It will slip away. And one of the most powerful insights that can finally dawn on us is nothing in this world can I depend on. No thing and no person. Only God is my Savior, and only God can save me and set me free and call me home to where joys are unending, to where relationships never end. So the church, the text is not saying here, look, if you're married, don't just separate and live separately, or don't own homes or have nothing to do with this world. It's not saying that, but it's saying, understand, it's passing away. And all the things that you're depending on now for your happiness, they won't be there for you forever. They may slip away from you, and they will. And every single thing that you have now, you're going to give back. Now, this then leads to the insight of the text, to finally allow the Lord to begin a process of setting us free with our infatuation of the things of this world. Church, we're all excited and thrilled and focused and fixed on things that are not going to last. And the things that are going to last, death, judgment, heaven and hell, well, what's on TV tonight? You know, we got something else to think about. The stuff that really matters and is permanent and forever, we got no time for it. And the stuff that's passing away, all we do is talk incessantly about it. We want more of it, and we want more, and when we get more, we still want more. And the eye is never satisfied with seeing, and the ear is never satisfied with hearing. More, more, more. I want it. I got to have it. And God, will you take a number? I'll get back. I'll pray for you. I'll pray later if I have time. We find time for everything else. But do we find time to pray, read Scripture, listen carefully to God, think and reflect on our life? Ask ourselves, where am I going? What am I doing with my life? You see, again, the text is saying, if you want to be a good disciple, an important discipline is to let the Lord begin to set you free from your obsession, my obsession with the world and the things of the world. Church, it's hard. I said it's hard. That deserved an amen. You know it's hard to let go of these things of this world. Amen? And you know what? Only the Lord can do it. You know, I got to say to you, if you think, well, I'm going to become more detached starting Tuesday after 2 o'clock. By 2:20, you want something else. You know, there's something came on the internet and you want to buy it right away. Church, only God can do this because our hearts are very worldly and very focused on the things of this world. And only God can begin that process. And so part of becoming a better disciple is to be focused wholly and entirely on the Lord. But you know what? You're not going to do it. Only God can do it. You know, Jesus warns us. He says, I want you to know something. No one can serve two masters. Either he'll love the one and hate the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. But no one can serve two masters. So you cannot serve mammon, which is the things of this world. You can't serve mammon and God. You got to choose. But you know what? We figure we can do both. Are you praying with me? We think we're going to do both, and we keep thinking we're going to do it. In the end, only God can really set us free. To become focused on one thing, serving God, loving God, but only God can do it. And until He does it, we're not free enough. We're not free enough to really let go and be perfect disciples of the Lord. We're too distracted. We're too divided. We're running over here, running over there. We're in two different places at once. We're all over God's green acre, and God is sort of off on the distance, and we're basically doing what we need to do. Church, that's not what it means to be a disciple. To be a disciple means to be wholly fixed on the Lord and only to follow His way. So I will just say to you, as I've had to do for myself, Lord, I am very easily distracted by the things of the world, even though I know they're passing away. I know I need to let go. I know there's things that are taking improper priorities in my life. Lord, please help me, save me, have mercy on me. And please, Lord, be gentle. It's okay to add that. Be gentle, Lord. I'm not sure I'm willing to become detached from everything all at once. Lord, help me little by little to become less obsessed and concerned with the things of this world, because they preoccupy me, and I'm not a good disciple because of them. I'm not available to You because I'm spending all my time worrying about things that are passing away. Have you ever thought about praying? It's a dangerous prayer, church, isn't it? Now, I hope there's a witness here, though. God's already been good to me. He's already working that work in my life. And I can only say I've got a long way to go. I said a long way to go. But the Lord has already set me free. There's a lot of things that I was all uptight about, all obsessed about, that don't interest me much anymore. They don't have the same hold on me. I don't need them as much. I've been able to let go of them. I can take it or leave it. And I'm just telling you, church, I still have a long way to go, but I'm telling you right now, God's been good to me. And He's already beginning to set me free and help me to let go of these things that keep me from being available to Him and being a good disciple. And so we see that there is this remarkable work that the Lord needs to work for us. And you know, you might as well let God do it. It's going to happen anyway. You're not taking any of this stuff with you, are you? Someone said, build me a bigger coffin so I can take all my things. Bury me in my house. Church, God can do it, and He will. Are you praying with me? But part of the discipline of being a good disciple is to be less and less obsessed with the world, to become unfettered, unchained from this world, so that you're free to serve God. Now, look at Peter, James. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, four fishermen. And one day the Lord comes by, and they just leave everything, and they follow Him. What an incredible portrait of being completely unfettered, completely free to just drop everything and go follow the Lord. But you know, church, I want to say to you that freedom didn't come to them in a second. If you really read all four Gospels, you'll come to discover that Peter and James and John, James and John and Andrew were already disciples of John the Baptist, and probably Peter too. And they'd been hearing John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had been preaching a gospel of repentance and helping them to purify their hearts and to let go and to be available because the Messiah was coming. John helped them to get ready. And I'm sure it took time in their life. They didn't just see some stranger come up and say, come follow me, and drop their nets. They'd been prepared for that moment. And you know, there's a beautiful gospel song, I think it's by Daryl Coley. It says, the Lord is preparing me for something I can't handle right now. He's getting me ready. There are some things right now that you need to let go of, and so do I, and you can't. But God is getting you ready. And when the moment comes, you'll be able to do it. God can do that for us. And God has to do that for us. Because as long as we're chained to this world, we're not free to follow Him. And the Lord wants to set us free. And some people say, I'd rather hold on to the chains. I like my chains. They're comfortable. We're comfortable with the familiar. Little by little, and I've come to that point in my life as you have, where you're finally able to let go of something for the last time. And God can do that. So again, brothers and sisters, to be undefiant, the Lord can give you and me a heart that's obedient and ready and excited to do His will. The Lord can also help us to become unfettered, unchained to this world so that we're free enough to be good disciples. And the third area to look at is not only to be undefiant and unfettered, but to be untiring. Now, what I want to do with you for a moment is to note that the Lord calls these four fishermen. They are all fishermen. Now, there's something not to overlook here. And the text doesn't want us to overlook it because it emphasizes it. They're mending their nets. It's obvious to the reader they're fishermen. But the text then repeats, they were fishermen. So in other words, pay attention. They were fishermen. So evidently, the Lord wants us to learn a few things from fishermen. Now, one thing about fishermen, they got to work hard when they're fishing. It's hard work. And have you seen some of those shows on, I guess it's the History Channel or whatever, shows these guys out on these tuna boats, and man, I couldn't do it. I could not do it. They are out there for months at a time in horrific conditions and the frozen North Sea, and they're casting these nets and bringing these fish in, and it's hard work, it's tough work, but they get paid well for it. Now, church, there's something about a fisherman that the text wants us to learn. And I want to just give you a few aspects of being a fisherman that might be helpful for us so that we can learn what it means to be an untiring disciple working in the kingdom of God and come to that place where we can say with that old song, I keep so busy working for the kingdom, I ain't got time to die. Notice that a fisherman, first of all, has to be patient. Patient. You know, you don't just lower your nets and the fish immediately oblige. Sometimes you got to wait a while. You got to wait for the fish. You got to keep working and keep waiting, and you got to stick to it, and eventually the fish will come. But fishermen learn to be patient. And you know, in the work of being a disciple and also in bringing disciples, as we're all trying to do, you got to be patient. Sometimes the fish aren't ready to jump into the net. Now, we see not only are they patient, but fishermen are professional. They know their job. They know what they're doing. They know how to work the nets. They know how to sail. They know how to observe fish behavior, observe the water, even the weather conditions. They know the seasons of when fish are in certain areas. They know the times of day and night that are better to fish. They're careful. They study. They know what they're doing. Now, let me just ask you, do you know much about being a disciple? You know, an awful lot of us in this church are pretty smart about a lot of things. Some of you run big computers and you're managers and you're running big government agencies. Some of you know all kinds of different things. You're teachers. We're all pretty smart. Let's just say we're all smart in this church. Amen. Someone just say, I'm smart. But are we as knowing about things eternal as we are about worldly things? How much do we really know the scripture? Now, you give me the luxury of spending most of my life focused on these things, and I thank you for that privilege. And I realize that most of you don't have the kind of time that you graciously give me to study up on this word and prepare. Thank you, Lord, yes. But I will say, I do hope and pray that little by little you're getting to know God's word over the years. You're faithful, you study it, you're praying, and gosh, there's so many good things on the internet now. You can actually get a text and a meditation email to you every day. And before you read the boss's angry email, you could read one from the Lord, amen? And if you don't know how to set it up, then get a fifth grader to set it up for you. But get it done. And be disciplined about reading God's word every day. Become a professional in being a disciple. I know what it means to know God, to love Him and serve Him. I know what He's asking. I'm familiar with His word. And if I don't know the exact text, I can know where to go and look it up. great biblical tools on the internet now. Likewise, the catechism, all of these are ways. Study the faith. Be excited about it. Fishermen know about fish. They know how to fish. They know the behavior of fish. And they know God's word, or they know how to fish, and we ought to know God's word. Now, not only are fishermen patient and professional, but they're also purposeful. You know what they're doing when they're fishing? They're fishing. They're not doing much else. They might have to sleep a little. But again, you get on some of those TV shows that show you these professional fishermen. They're up day and night. They get a little sleep, back out fishing. When they're out there fishing, they're not pulling over to some shopping mall. They're out there, they're on the high seas, and they're doing one thing, they're fishing. St. Paul said, "This one thing I do, I press on to the prize marked out for me in Christ Jesus my Lord. One thing I do, every other thing I do is centered on that one thing." Can you say that? Can I? Scripture says in the book of James that the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So again, we have to ask the Lord to give us an increasing ability to center all our life on the one thing most necessary, knowing God, loving Him, serving Him, and doing whatever He asks. And whether you're raising kids or going to work, it's still all focused back on that one thing. That is that I love God and I'm serving His kingdom. Now, not only are fishermen patient and professional and purposeful, but they are pursuing. Notice they don't sit there in the dock and wait for the fish to jump in the boat, do they? Fishermen take their boat out on the water. They go to the fish. Well, here we go again. Someone want to go knock on some doors with me? Uh-oh, he brought that up again. I've asked you to go into your own homes, and you're all working and praying to bring someone back to God's house. You know, in the Catholic Church, we've got to get over this notion that evangelization means opening up the doors and hoping people come. That is not evangelization. The key word in evangelization is go. Go. And so fishermen know how to go to the fish, and you and I, who would be disciples, and this image of a fisherman is for us, that we have to go and bring disciples to the Lord. Like we see Andrew doing, going and getting his brother Peter and saying, "Come, come and see the Messiah." Now again, Peter wasn't exactly cooperative at first, but Andrew stayed at the task. And so you see again, they're, if you will, pursuing. They go out to the fish. And so too must we. And yet another concept of a fisherman is that they're partnered. That is to say, they don't fish alone. They go out in teams. And likewise, we are really meant as those who would evangelize and be disciples. We're meant to walk together. To walk together on our way to the kingdom. And to walk together, as you notice, when we've knocked on doors in this community, we went out two by two, sometimes by threes, and we went and we took turns and we knocked on doors and we supported each other. You know that old spiritual just says, "Walk together, children. Don't you get weary." Oh, there's a great camp meeting in the Promised Land, but you got to walk together. You see this vision today, we're here together. Some folks say, "I don't need church." Yes, you do. You got to have brothers and sisters to walk with you. Being a disciple means walking together. So, brothers and sisters, to be untiring, this image of a fisherman, working hard, being patient, being professional, being purposeful, doing only one thing, pursuing, going out and drawing in other disciples, being partnered, all of these are things that come to mind when this image of a fisherman. And we're all called to be untiring workers for God's kingdom. And all these words are there. But listen, I want to end now, and I want to end on this note. You're not going to be untiring. You're not going to be unfettered and undefiant all by yourself. And this is not like another laundry list. Uh-oh, Father just told me I got to be less defiant. I got to be more free, and I got to work harder. Okay, thank you, Father. Nice sermon, Father. You stepped on my toes again, Father. I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm telling you that God promises to give you a more obedient heart, a freer heart, and a heart that doesn't work for God's kingdom because it has to, but because it wants to, because it's thrilled and excited at what God is doing and wants to work in the kingdom. A joyful worker, someone who can shout and say, "Thank you, Lord, you've been good to me. I love you. I'm working in your kingdom. I'm not doing this because I have to, but because I want to." God is offering us the gift to be undefiant, the gift to be free and unfettered, the gift to be untiring workers. And you know, think about it. Joy is its own energy, isn't it? When you're joyful, you've got the energy to shout and tell somebody what he's doing. And so it is, brothers and sisters, this beautiful song that we began with. I keep so busy praising my Savior, I ain't got time to die. In other words, I ain't got time to be sorrowful or depressed or discouraged or bored or tired or lonely. I don't got time for any of that death-directed stuff. I just love the Lord. I am so busy praising him, I ain't got time to die. I ain't got time for negativity. I'm excited and I'm happy. I may get physically tired and need to sleep occasionally, but I get up and I'm happy to start again. Thank you, Lord. I love you. I love your kingdom. Oh, church, I keep so busy working for the kingdom. I ain't got time to die. Amen.